Well, here we are for another. I always forget. That's called Bridging the Gap podcast. You always say it at the start, Matt. You're really good at that. This week, we're doing something slightly different on the podcast front. We're all following up from Sunday's sermon because neither of us are Andrew Hadley. We're going to talk to Matt. We've called this podcast, this chat, Lessons in Patience. So let me explain. Matt, in the past 6 months or so, as I'm sure many of you know, has had numerous ailments, so sciatica. I've always been told never say words that you can't spell, and I definitely can't spell sciatica. Sciatica, a slipped disc, a pulled calf, and now COVID, lo and behold. So I just thought it might be helpful for us as a congregation to hear about your experience of these things, because some of us, all of us at some point will have health issues like this. And I suppose, well, people haven't seen you for a while, and even whenever we have seen you, we'll get to this question eventually, but there's like phrases that we use as human beings, like fine, well, yeah, cracking on, persevering. There's all these words that we use, and we're all like, oh yeah, they're cracking on, but we don't actually know what that actually looks like in day-to-day life. So I thought it
Yeah.
might be a good chance to lift the bonnet up and find out what all those jargony phrases means. So enough from me. I'm going to kick this off with a question of how are you and your family doing?
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Well, actually, before I answer that question, it's interesting you went through that list. Sciatica, slipped disc, pulled calf. I forgot all about the pulled calf. That was pretty annoying at the time. The funny thing is, I was talking to Dave off air before we started this about my various ailments, and he was like, "You didn't say this, but I could see him thinking I must be terribly old, like Matt." But there's probably other people listening to this podcast right now thinking sciatica, slipped disc, pulled calf. Wow, that's nothing. If you should try having what I've got to put up with. So it's all relative, isn't it? But this is stuff, as you say, David, applies to everybody in some way at some point. How am I and the family doing? Well, considering we've all been diagnosed with COVID now in the space of a week and a bit, we're all doing pretty well, I think. Tom's much better. He's recovered, which I'm very grateful for because he was we were quite surprised how rough he was with the COVID. And it was a little bit worrying at one point. He's bounced back really well. And then Kath, Sophia, and I are all at different stages of having COVID and feeling rough with it. So yeah, it's probably a bit of a sliding scale there as to how we're all doing. But basically, all things considered, we're doing good, thanks.
It must be strange because, like, 18 months ago or whatever, we were all used to, being locked inside and not being able to go places. And now it must feel like Groundhog Day where you're, back. Lots of things are opened and then you're stuck inside. It must just be so frustrating.
It's a bit harder in that way. Having said that, we were commenting around the dinner table yesterday that we're so grateful this didn't happen during August, because you can imagine if we'd had COVID one after the other in the summer holidays and been confined to the house, that would have wrecked the summer holiday and it would have been a nightmare. So we're very grateful for that. But if you had to have it any time, I suppose now is as good a time as any.
Yeah, start school and stuff.
Yeah.
So, obviously I get to see quite a lot of you, which is a good thing, obviously. But in these past, this past time with all these different struggles and ailments, I've heard you say to lots of different people, this is sort of the jargon thing I was talking about, the Lord's been very kind to me in all this. Can you, because so I know some of us would look at that and be like, I'm not sure it is being very kind. So, could you explain what the Lord's kindness has looked like for you personally?
Yeah, sure. You're right. We use these things as throwaway phrases, and if you're not specific about what you mean, it can be a bit opaque to people, can't it? I think probably two specific ways I can see the Lord has been kind or gracious or whatever word you want to use in the midst of all this frustrating stuff. For me in recent months, first way is that I don't think I've been as impatient as I might have expected. So I'll come back to that. And secondly, I think the Lord has enabled me to see the blessings in the middle of the frustrations. A bit like for a lot of people in church, I think, during first lockdown. You know, the downsides were obvious, but people managed to see the blessings in it too. And I think there's been something of that for me in the last 3 months or so. So going back to the first point, the fact that I've not been as impatient as I might have expected. If you told me, Dave, 6 months ago, excuse me, that I'd have a slip disc that will prevent me from running or even prevent me from walking very far for more than 3 months, I had said something to you like, oh dear, I'm going to go absolutely up the wall with frustration if that happens. And I can honestly say on most days, I haven't been going up the wall. And that's God's grace. That's not my personality. My personality is to be really frustrated by this. And most of the time I haven't been. So that is God being kind to me, I think. I mean, his kindness to us is ultimately in Jesus, of course, and the hope we have in him. And that's the same for all Christians. But we see his blessings in little ways too. And that's one of the little ways I've seen his kindness to me in this past few months. And then going back to the second thing I mentioned, enabling me to see the blessings and frustrations, it's also the case that because I've had a bit more breathing space to think and pray over the last few months, then that's become obvious as a blessing to me, for me from the Lord. So that the Lord has enabled me to see his goodness in the frustrations. At the end of the day, all good things we have are undeserved blessings from his hand. But those are just a couple of the ways I think I can say, yeah, the Lord's been kind to me in this, you know, even with the slip disc and the sciatica, et cetera, et cetera.
Just like, as to be clear, you know, I'm not saying it's bad to say phrases like God's been kind to me. It's more just I wanted to clarify if anyone's like, oh, I wonder what that actually means.
Yeah.
There's a chance to expand, because Rosa, most people asked you how are you doing and you did that, you know, spiel of the 2 points.
Yeah,
most of us might zone out at some point, so just in case anyone's sitting there being like, oh, Dave's really that was my mindset.
I get the question, because you're right, so someone looks at someone who's going through something difficult and you say God's been kind to me, that's the immediate question that springs on. What really, how's that then?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just some of the ways how.
I think what I like about that is how, especially for all of us with COVID stuff in the past 18 months, you know, if someone said to you maybe 2 years ago, you know, you'd spend a year not being physically at church and doing it virtually, people would be like, I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to cope. Yeah. Which is sort of what you're saying there with the not being able to run or walk.
I think it's this is something I've heard from other Christians over the years, Christians in the Bridge, I've seen this in their lives, that it's the old adage that God doesn't give you a store of grace in advance for stuff. He gives you grace at the time you need it. And I've seen people in the Bridge and in other places, other churches, who've got going through really hard stuff, really significant suffering that, you know, my frustrating few months are nothing in comparison. And their testimony has been, if you told them in advance, they wouldn't have thought they could cope. And the Lord has simply given grace at the time that it was needed. And from the little things through to the great big things, I think that's true for all of us. He gives us what we need when we need it.
I'm sort of weaving in and out of questions we talked about, Matt, but
excuse me.
Sunday night we met as elders to pray and just like find out how each other were doing, things we can be praying for. And as I hear everyone else's things that I can be praying for, I'm just like, oh, I've got nothing that compares to like all these other things that these men are going through. I suppose that's always, you know, you saying there, comparing your pains and struggles to other people's, actually not that helpful, is it? Because it's still your burden, it's still your life.
Yeah.
I suppose, like, I know lots of people who would look at what's going on with you and be like, gosh, I could not do that. But you probably look at their life and be like, I'd really struggle with that. So I suppose, comparison in many ways is the thief of joy, but also, like, whenever you're comparing your suffering to someone else's, like, you're depriving yourself of comfort, aren't you, in some ways?
Yeah, good point. Fair point.
Bit of a ramble, but could you tell us, because you've always said God's been very kind, and I suppose we experience that, we see that kindness whenever we've had a good day, but on bad days, can you tell us how, you know, God sort of breaks into those days whenever you're having like a real little day. How do you keep yourself going, remind yourself of the gospel on those days?
Well, yeah, you can probably tell from what I said that most days I've been doing well by God's grace. And obviously, most days implies there's the odd day at least where it's not like that. For example, I mean, I think I mentioned before, probably on the podcast, that I think and pray best when I go for a walk. And I can't walk far at the moment, so that's really sort of impacted my prayers, and I'm having to learn to pray in different ways. So I've probably found myself thinking on a couple of occasions, well, Lord, why, why something that stops me walking when you know I pray well when I walk? But the Lord knows me, he knows best, and he's definitely teaching me things in this. So yeah, there are days that aren't so good. The bad days are days like that, maybe when I think about why something is affecting my walking, or when I focus on what I'm not able to do, rather than focusing on who I am in Christ. So that's where I'm focusing makes a big difference. And when I focus in the wrong place, that's a bad day. So a book I read a few months back, I may have mentioned, Union with Christ by Rankin Wilborn, really helped me in this. It's an excellent book on what it means to be united with Christ by faith. And that book reminds me that I so easily slip into a works-based mentality. So the thinking that my value is about what I can accomplish or what people think of me, it's about what I do. But the gospel tells me that Jesus has done it all, everything that's needed for me to be accepted, forgiven, and Jesus has united me to himself. And I'm mysteriously one with him, which means my whole identity is basically Jesus. It's not my family, my accomplishments, my busyness, what I'm able to do. It is who I am in Jesus. So the good days are when I have that focus. The bad days are when I focus on what I'm not able to do instead of who I am in Jesus.
It is funny is not the right word, but it is funny how, you'd think whenever you're a professional Christian or you've been a Christian as long as you have Matt, you'd graduate from those sorts of, they almost seem basic struggles, don't they? But actually it's the whole Christian life is, we slip back into those work-based sort of righteousness, identity, mentality. As you, I find that encouraging as someone who struggles that as well. To know that that's going to be a lifelong battle. It's not going to be something that's solved overnight. Like it's going to be there until you get the glory, basically.
Absolutely.
So once again, I know this is a bit of an annoying question and you sort of touched on it already, but what do you think the Lord has been teaching you in all this? Or your family as a whole? Often it's hard to see it when we're in the actual moment. It's often looking back, but have you got a sense of that?
Yeah, I think it's been patience is the word that keeps cropping up for me personally. I've said to people occasionally, tongue in cheek, I think the Lord is teaching me patience, but I think he really has been. He's been giving me the grace to be patient, and he's teaching me it. And for us as a family, yeah, just learning a bit more about what it means to trust the Lord and how to let go of some things as well, things we can't control, that are in his hands. So on the days I haven't been able to go for a long walk, which I haven't been able to do for 3 months plus now, I've had to say to the Lord, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing. This is all for some reason part of the plan. So I've got to rest in that and I've got to trust you. And when in the last few weeks I've had to sit back, this has been hard. See, this gives you an insight to my personality, maybe. I guess a lot of us are like this. In the last few weeks, when I've had to sit back and watch others in the church getting on with things when I can't do them because COVID has kept us away from church, I've needed to say, okay, they're fine getting on without me. I'm not indispensable. I need to just let that go and rest in, again, who I am in Christ. I'm not defined by all that. My identity is in Jesus and following him in good times and in frustrating times. So yeah, learning to be patient and learning to let go and say, all right, I can't do that stuff right now, but the Lord has got other people in his church who are getting on with the job and doing it instead. So I'm not saying that's it, lesson learned, that I've learned to be patient. It is not that simple, but I think I'm getting there by God's grace.
It's quite like it's an interesting one on that front, isn't it? Where I know I would be similar looking around and being like, oh, like people are getting on fine without me. Like they don't need me. I can feel quite down on myself. But if the Bridge Church fell apart, like because you were gone for 2 weeks, you know, it would be a sign that we're too dependent on our lead pastor. And I suppose in some ways it would show that you're, well, not that you're not doing a good job, but like if everything's dependent on you, you're not mobilizing the body to use all their gifts.
Yeah.
Like it's not a one-man show, which is encouraging in some ways, even though I'm sure it's super frustrating as well.
Yeah, well, I think possibly you're going to come back to this, but I think it is a testament to the grace of God at work in the Bridge Church as well, that this is a church that people believe in every member ministry and they get on with stuff. You know, I'm not suggesting we actually do this, but it's an interesting thought experiment to say, well, take all the elders out of the equation for a month and see what happens. And I would like to think we'd be missed for that month, but I also think probably things would carry on absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of the grace of God in the church.
Yeah. This is sort of like a side question. But surely as a pastor, you should be protected from this stuff. Like we sort of touched on it with the God's kindness thing, but surely us elite professional Christians, quote unquote, I'm obviously joking, should be specially protected by God and all this.
Yeah, well, I hear you. Excuse me. We're both laughing, but actually we know that there are some Christians would say so. Some schools of thought would say that Christians shouldn't suffer in this way if they've got faith. And certainly people who are pastors shouldn't, because they're pastors, and because if they're pastors, they should be real people of faith. And if you're real people of faith, this stuff doesn't happen to you. But my answer to that is that's absolutely not true. That's just, biblically speaking, that's rubbish. The Bible shows us very clearly that in this fallen world, which is under God's curse, even God's people go through the same things as people who don't follow Christ. Christians and non-Christians get slip discs. They get COVID. They suffer. They get frustrated. They get depressed. But the Christian has something. Here's the big difference, that the world doesn't have: a sovereign God who's their loving Father, who holds everything, them included, in his wise hands. There are those in the congregation suffering, really suffering right now, or seeing loved ones suffering. They know that these truths don't make the hard, scary and annoying things easy, but they do provide a rock under their feet during the storm, that there is a peace that passes all understanding, that guards the hearts and minds of those who are in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4, 6-7. So my answer is no. Pastors and Christians are not protected from this stuff by default because they're Christians. We go through what everybody goes through in this fallen world, but we have a Father who knows, who has a plan, and he holds us and keeps us in the midst of it all.
Yeah, it's interesting looking at a passage like 2 Corinthians 6 where Paul talks about, you know, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, security, knowledge, etc., etc., etc. Paul then says, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. You're like, that's, you know, that is the disciple's life.
This is the thing I find utterly astounding about the prosperity teaching that's quite prevalent, especially in the Western world and the Western church, that it just has to completely ignore key characters from the Bible, for example, like Job, Paul, Jesus.
Yeah, the Lord.
who suffered terribly. And so it just doesn't make sense to say this doesn't apply to us. It does. But we have an anchor in the storm. We have a rock under our feet, and we do know God's supernatural peace. And like we said a bit earlier in the podcast, we do know God's grace for the moment in these hard things, these frustrating things, which again, the world doesn't know. And that's why we so desperately want people to know Jesus, so they have that hope.
So the next question I have is a question about our motto verse, which is 1 Corinthians 15. Is that right? I'm right.
Oh, yes. Do you know what, Dave? You mentioned you were going to ask about the Mottoverse. And of course, my mind went back to the Mottoverse from start of 2020, Romans 12, 12. But I should have had the 1 Corinthians verse more freshly in my mind.
Because that's what I was going to ask you about. So 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour is not in vain." That's ESV. So how has that Mottoverse been an encouragement, a challenge to you during this time?
Well, I think when you're in this situation where you're just conscious you can't do as much as you've done in the past, then to hear that your labour in the Lord is not in vain, that whatever you do for Christ, when you're truly doing it out of love for him, even if it's you're stuck at home, so all you can really do, apart from phone calls and texts and stuff, is sort of pray more, read your Bible more. These things are not wasted. That's the labour in the Lord that is not in vain. That nothing done for Jesus is wasted effort at all. It's interesting, isn't it, that the Romans 12:12 from the year before is probably the motto verse, if I'm honest, for me personally, that stuck with me more and come back to me more this last few months. You know, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Yeah.
And I think affliction probably covers the whole range from annoying, frustrating things to real suffering.
Yeah.
And in all that, we can know joy in our hope through prayer in our afflictions, and that verse has buoyed me up as well. So yeah, both motto verses, the last 2 years worth of motto verses, speak very clearly to all this, I think.
Yeah.
As does, by the way, sorry, just jumping in, thinking back on what we saw in Revelation, which is a phrase we've heard repeated back to us recently, haven't we, Dave? God is in control, the Lamb wins. And that puts everything we go through in wonderful eternal perspective. The Lamb wins.
Yeah. Has there been, we talk a lot about Bible verses, etc., but has there been a particular song that you've listened to, sung, belted out with your COVID lungs, reflecting on, that's been helpful?
Sorry, every time Dave makes me laugh, I'm having a coughing fit. Well, I did, one of our early podcasts, I mentioned this, and I got really made fun of, but I'm going to say the same song again anyway, because I don't care, because it's true. It's the Hillsong song, "Who You Say I Am." I am who you say I am. Because it's, for me, it's going back to the identity in Christ thing. In Jesus, we're free indeed. We're not, and we are not who the world says we are. We are who Jesus says we are. So the world defines me in various ways, including by my productivity and my reputation and how well I do my job. But that's not how the Christian is defined. He says who I am, that I'm a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a son of the living God, a son of the great King. So we don't have to be captive to what the world wants and expects of us. We can be utterly free in our gospel hope and go against the flow because we are who he says we are. And that's why I love that song, not just because I think it's got a good tune and it's a good song. I don't always think Hillsong lyrics are fantastic, but this particular song, I think they're very helpful.
So was that written by Hillsong Augustine in the 2nd century, or no? Is it a more modern one? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Hillsong Australia, as in
2018,
like 2 years ago.
Unreal. But yeah. I thought you'd be an old school guy, but once again,
well, there's plenty. This is where I got made fun of before, because there's plenty of old hymns that I love and I would often quote. But honestly, that's just that song has really helped me, and I think it's a good anthem for the 21st century church. Given all the stuff about identity in our culture and how confused our culture is about identity, to be belting out and pointing to heaven, "I am who you say I am," I think is really important for the Christian right now.
The first Sunday you're back with us, we'll pull some strings and get that song, shall we?
Excellent. Yeah, I hope all the music leaders are listening to this.
Yeah. What have you missed the most in these past two Sundays? I know one of them was a strange one, and that was an AGM.
Yeah, that was frustrating, missing the AGM. Though again, it was really encouraging and really humbling at the same time to see how the elders just got on with it, and it didn't make any difference that I wasn't there. But I think the big thing is might sound really obvious, people. So just seeing people's faces, or seeing their eyes anyway, whilst we're in church, not on a screen, just reminded me how we need to be physically together regularly to do discipleship together. Screens and texts don't do it. So it's going to be three Sundays away from the bridge, and my 3 Sundays away from the bridge this coming weekend will really have reinforced for me what a physical thing it is, as well as a spiritual thing, to be the church. Yeah. So I've just missed physically being in the same space as people and seeing people without the mediation of a screen. Mm. Yeah.
I thought this was going to be a quick one. I think it's a bit longer than we thought. But so you won't be out and about for the next, is it 10 days or how many days? Is it?
10 days from when my symptoms started. So I think that takes me through the next Tuesday. But yeah, it's a 10-day period altogether. Yeah.
Next Tuesday. So how can we be praying for you as a church family? Is this time when you'll be thinking about the preaching program in the new year, vision, bigger picture stuff? What's going to be filling your time?
Yeah, probably a lot of...
Obviously, sorry, also, like, get better first. Like, this is not me saying work through 10 days, Matt.
Yeah, don't worry, Dave. I'm not reading that, as you saying, right, what are you doing the rest of your day, Matt? probably a lot of the stuff you mentioned, actually. Yeah, I think what you can pray for me, you said, how can you pray for me? Pray for me that I'll keep learning patience, and that I learn anything else the Lord wants to teach me. I think I'm really going to look back on this time and kick myself if I haven't been just quiet and listening to what the Lord is saying to me. Mm. So pray that I'll be able to pray and listen well, that I'll use my time wisely and well also. So I can obviously be in touch with people pastorally via phone and message and Zoom. People really get fed up with Zoom contact these days. But anyone listening, shout if you fancy a chat and you have had a message from me. But now is probably a good time, yeah, to get ahead in thinking and planning, as you said, for the 2022 preaching program. I've got some resource teaching sessions coming up next year as well. And just taking time to think. I don't think we do that enough in the busyness of church life sometimes in pastoral ministry, just having a think about what ministry looks like. By the end of the day, I want to use the next week and a half in the way that best pleases the Lord. So just pray for listening ears for me, basically.
Okay, great. Let's finish off on, I feel this has been very positive generally as a podcast, but let's do three things you are thankful for.
Yeah. Well, as you'll see as I go through these three, I don't think these aren't in any particular order, but the first thing that sprung to mind as I was thinking about that question was the people of the bridge. That the fact, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that the heart that people in the bridge have for every member ministry, the sacrificial service of the elders, and you know, yes, I do include the assistant pastor in that as well. but you know, their sacrificial service means that I am very much worry-free about what happens when I'm a bit indisposed for a couple of weeks. And honestly, some pastors wouldn't be able to say that. So I'm just very, very grateful for the bridge people and the bridge elders. So it has been humbling because all this reminds me none of us is indispensable. And that definitely includes me, but very grateful for the bridge people. So grateful for my family. God's made me even more grateful for my family in the last weeks, I think, the last 3 months, actually, since I slipped the disc and was incapacitated. When I was literally flat on my back, Kath and Tom and Sophia looked after me very well. And I actually got to spend more time with them when I flat on my back, ironically. So very grateful for my family and for time with them. Third thing, grateful for the patience of the Lord, that one of the ways he shows his grace to me, he's just patient with me. I said that I've been learning patience, but the supreme example of that is the Lord himself, who is so patient with me when I take so long to learn my lessons. So I think that's become very obvious to me in recent weeks.
Great. That's a nice way to finish.
That was quite a long one, was it?
I have no idea. You're the one who's hit record, to be fair.
I have no idea either. I don't know what I'm doing here.
But yeah, we shall see you next Tuesday. Missionary prayer meeting tomorrow night. We'll see you on the screen.
Oh yeah, I'll see you there. Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye.